Okay, let's get it. It is Locked On LSU, your team every day. I'm Matt Moscona, ESPN Radio, Baton Rouge, New Orleans, Alexandria, CST, right here for the Locked On LSU podcast, presented by Built Bar, best-tasting protein bar in the world, the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. It's Built Bar. Get yours and save $10 off your first order at BuiltBar.com with the promo code Locked On. Had a chance to visit with Ryan Clark, ESPN analyst, talk about 7-on-7s in Louisiana and how that's impacting high school football and the development of elite quarterbacks that LSU is in on. We'll get to that, but big news this week, of course, that LSU landed a massive 4-star offensive lineman in Garrett Dellinger, and had a chance to talk with football analyst Mike Dettillier about Dellinger, and he started by comparing Dellinger to a former first-round draft pick who played in the SEC.
Well, there's some limited tape on him now, you know, because he has had some injuries. He's had the labrum injury. So I can't say that I have seen him up close and personal at any camp. But I have seen a lot of him on film. And my first thought when I watch him is he reminded me of a young man, and I think I'm getting to high school right. He came out of Missouri City High School in Texas, and he came to our Louisiana line camp entering his senior year. His name was Jake Matthews.
I've heard of him.
He's built similar to Jake in that he, when I see Garrett, and I haven't measured him, but he looks to be a 6'5" guy in that 270 range, 265, 270. And Jake actually measured in a little under 6'5". It doesn't take much for him to get to 6'5". He was real close, and he was 272 at the time in a camp. So I look at them both similar. Long, lean athletes at this stage. Long arm, square you up type players, technicians. He really is technically very sound. He is not a power player at this point. I've had people, because they heard me say it maybe yesterday, sending me film. Okay, he's burying a 210-pound guy to the line of scrimmage.
Okay. Mike, we're looking at the highlights right now. They just showed like he's running over a linebacker that was about 180.
Yeah, so okay, if you're 260 and you're running over 190, a 200-pound guy, yeah, I get it at this stage. When I watch Jake work, I never considered him a power player, and I still don't today, even though he's over 300 pounds. He's a technician, knows how to use his arms and hands well. He's a balanced guy. He squares up strong. You see with Garrett, his ability similar to Jake in that he could get to the second level to throw a block, which is key. When Jake finished up at the line camp, I wrote down left tackle. So what happens when he goes to A&M? They move him to right tackle, but they had a reason. Luke Joku.
Yeah.
Now, no matter what you want to think about Luke as a professional player, man, he was a bad dude as a college player. I mean, he could play. And so for 3 years, Jake Matthews played on the right side. Jake stayed all 4 years at A&M, and as a senior, they moved to the left side. And he's played left tackle that senior year and every year since with the Falcons at left tackle. And when I look at Garrett, at a similar stage in their career, there's a lot of similarities. He's not this big, bulky guy muscling people around. Now, he's a good angle blocker, and he finds that guy that he can kind of take out. But he knows how to kind of muscle up a little bit and just kind of push you around. But he's a really good technician with his arms and his hands. Right off the bat, looking at him, I would write left tackle. Mm-hmm. Because that's what he looks like to me. That's what you would want a left tackle as a high school player to look like. And that 6'5", maybe a little bit more, 270, where he's going to end up when he finishes up at LSU, he's going to be a 310-pound player. That's basically what happened with Jake Matthews. Jake ended up, I think, at the combine a little over 6'5", and I think he was right at 310, Well, that's what I see in Dellinger. I mean, Garrett is the exact same sort of build as an offensive tackle. And so that would be my comparison. You know, some people have told me Conklin. No, Conklin was always a power player. I watched Conklin play. He was always a muscle you and kind of gore you type of guy. And with Garrett, the only concern I would have is the medical part with him, because he can play. I mean, you can see, man, he's got it. And that ability to square up and just steer that guy to the outside as a pass blocker, he does one heck of a job of it. Listen, that ain't his first rodeo. All I'm telling you is, I don't know who coached him, but it ain't his first rodeo. That's not as easy as you might think to do. I saw Matthews do it here at Louisiana line camp. Similar. They had really fast guys come off the edge, and he'd just take them. And, you know, he was taking them from Highway 1 to Highway 308. You know, them guys ain't come close to getting around him. And that's what, when you watch Garrett, you see a lot of similarities in that he's got that ability to steer you wide. Now, he's going to need a little work only because he has missed some time with the labrum injuries that he's had. And I think he's had two surgeries with it. That, you know, is not uncommon with a big man to have some issues there. You know, just his body's growing so quickly. A lot of times, you know, sometimes it takes a little while for everything to catch up. But when you're going to get him that he's going to be a grown man, so to speak, and if you just take a look at his dad, you can see, man, he's going to be a big guy.
We will continue with Mike Dettillier's analysis of Garrett Dellinger in just a quick second. We are brought to you by Built Bar. Heading into the weekend, what an awesome time, if you haven't done so yet, to take a couple of minutes, get to the website, builtbar.com. Work your way around, check out some of the flavors, build your own box, or order one box with your favorite flavor. I can tell you mine is the chocolate orange cream, which has been my favorite so far. And we've, at our family and our house, ordered boxes upon boxes and stocked the pantry. And every day I grab one before I leave the house. And it's perfect either for a meal replacement or a midday snack or a post-workout protein bar if you need about 15 grams of protein. Gluten-free, made in a nut-free facility. And I can't tell you how much, with the gelatin in it, how much it tastes like a candy bar and not what you normally expect from a protein bar. A lot of different protein bars have tried to claim that. None have done it quite like Built Bar. BuiltBar.com. Use the promo code LOCKEDON and save $10 off your first order. As we've been reminding you, we here at the Locked On Podcast Network stand against racism and social injustice. That's why we, the hosts, are making personal donations to local and national organizations that are fighting for change. And in the month of June, Locked On is matching the total of all host donations up to an additional $10,000. So to make your donation along with us, please visit lockedonpodcasts.com/Black Lives Matter. And there's 4 days left in the month, so please get by and make that donation. We're visiting with NFL, college, and football analyst Mike Dettillier, who's been talking with us about LSU four-star offensive line commit Garrett Dellinger.
Right off the bat, Matt, he looks to me to be a left tackle or a left guard, but I would say more left tackle. Because of his steering ability to get that guy and just sort of push him out to the outer edge, and physically he's going to have to get stronger, but you know, I think you could probably say that about every offensive lineman coming in. I would much rather the thinner guy than the big guy, because today I told this to a coach who sent me some film of a guy. Now, they claim he's 329. Dude, I want to get on that scale. That's all I can tell you. Hey, no way, you know, that he's 329. Because, listen, it's like all of us, or many of us today, we know the first number. It's the second number that really gets you upset. You know, I know my first numbers too, but that second number is the one that gets you upset, because that's the one that sort of flips you on it. So
Man, coronavirus didn't help either, man. Being quarantined didn't help anybody.
Well, you're the second one to tell me that today. It is what it is. That's a big-time catch because of who you were up against. You were up against some major guys there going for his services. And he's really a good technician, just to make it quickly. His comparison is Jake Matthews. Because of the way they play the game, the way they are built at similar stages in their career, would they do good? Maybe they need a little bit of work on. But that's a big catch for LSU to get a potential left tackle here. And that's always, to me, unless you get a left-handed quarterback, which you got with Max.
Yeah, you're right.
You're protecting his blind side. And that, no matter what, they can overload that blind side. And you see it now more. The Chiefs did it a few years back, where they would line up their outside linebacker and defensive end kind of square up with one another, and they'd send two guys. So, man, all I'm telling you is that tackle got to make a choice, and then you just hope that the running back picks it up. You're seeing a lot of that done in college football, too. But Garrett's a big pickup because of his size, because of his length, his ability to play left tackle. His foot movement skills is really good. He's a really good athlete. You can tell by the way he moves his feet. I didn't have to read the stuff about basketball player and all. You can just tell by the way he moves his feet. He's a really good athlete. And he's a guy that he's going to be a 310-pound guy when it's all said and done. And just hopefully the health part with the labrum is all good with him. But, man, that's a big catch for LSU, the second one out of the Michigan area, with Bradford being the first. And we heard it a few weeks back, and actually Coach O told us this, I think this was the week after National Signing Day. He made a statement to us on a Monday night that he thought Anthony Bradford was his most talented offensive lineman.
Yep.
Okay, well, here's the gig with Anthony. He got that problem like I got. You know that first number. It's that second one that is a little dicey. So you understand you're going to have to get a little bit of weight off of him, a little bit better conditioning. But to get two of them from the Midwest, that just sort of solidifies something I can recall Coach O telling me in December of 2018 that we're going to be a national recruit team. I'm like, what? And, he starts this speech about, Virginia and Maryland and Washington, D.C. and out in Michigan and Ohio and all, And my thing is, LSU's never done that before. And so I'll leave out the other part of it, but whatever. his deal is they're coming to us. So that went to tell you a little bit of something. He picked it up quicker than anyone. And that's the one thing I got to give him credit about. That he picked this up. Look at that list today, Matt. How many from Louisiana?
Two.
Okay. And you hope that, you can get a couple receivers and you can get the big man from on the bayou and the man out in Acadiana, out in that area as a defensive back. And who knows? That young man that committed to Alabama, we shall see. That story has not been, that book isn't closed yet. Let me just tell you that. Ain't closed. So I think what he's done is he's done a terrific job of not only recruiting the state and getting most of the top players to stay. There are always going to be people that want to leave for whatever reasons. Sometimes it's to get away from home. Sometimes it's to see a new place, whatever. Sometimes they fall in love with a coach or whatever. And listen, it happens. You just heard Garrett talk about his relationship with James Craig and Coach O.
Yep.
Those two guys aren't here. He's not coming to LSU. So don't fling it to me that it's just LSU. LSU had Craig and O put that spot in him and was able to bring him down. So I think it goes to show that he has taken full measure here to bring in those national recruits. And for LSU fans, it ain't over yet.
I've been fascinated by this conversation as Louisiana traditionally has not produced elite-level high school quarterbacks, yet all of a sudden there's this crop with Arch Manning and Eli Holstein and Walker Howard and Jai Eugene Jr. And I've kind of had this theory that the advent of 7-on-7s in Louisiana is a big reason for it. Well, Ryan Clark, who's, of course, a great friend of ours, is a coach with the Louisiana Bootleggers, which is the premier 7-on-7 squad in Louisiana. And their quarterback is Eli Holstein, the rising sophomore at Zachary, who's got an LSU offer already. So I talked with RC about the advent of 7-on-7s and how that's changing the position in Louisiana.
I think that that's part of it, the fact that you have 7-on-7, and now it's like a guy who plays AAU basketball all year round. You're finding a way to sharpen your skills. You're building anticipatory skills, leadership, right? You're getting to go against some of the top-notch talent in the country. And I think that helps some of these guys who already have a foundation grow. I also think the changes in offense have helped, Matt, because it used to be the way offenses were ran, you had to be a certain type of build. You had to be able to throw from the pocket, or you needed to be a certain height, or it wasn't one of those positions where athleticism was put at a premium. Now the way offenses are ran, it's a fun position to play. It's not just stand there and let's throw the ball. I also think, you know, I coach Eli Holstein, who plays quarterback. His brother Caleb also played with us in 7-on-7. They're two totally different athletes. But it used to be you get a guy like Eli who can actually run, who can jump, he can hoop, he can do all these things. And what was the first thing he did? Oh, that guy's a receiver. Mm-hmm. Or that guy's a corner. Or that guy's a safety. Now you don't have to do that anymore. You can take elite athletes or guys with measurables and a skill set that could make them a positional player and put them at quarterback. Give them the tools to play that position. And I think it's made the position fun again. And you have to credit, you know, the league and college football for trending and trickling down into high school. And I believe Louisiana has always had a ton of athletes. Those athletes just played a lot of other positions or weren't given this opportunity. I think it also helps when you have guys like Jamie Howard and Jai Eugene who have kids. Mm-hmm. You know, and those kids play quarterback and they get the proper coaching and play at the right places. And so I just think, you know, it's a good time for Louisiana. I also believe, though, you got to pick right, you know, because you're going to offer these kids and you're going to get certain kids to commit. What you can't do is fill up or take the kids who don't end up being the guy that you think they are. We cannot miss if you're LSU.
Wait, elaborate a bit more on that, RC, because if you take you're talking about that quarterback because it's the most important mm-hmm. position, but LSU has missed a lot over the year at that position, over the years, but in large part it's because they've had to go outside of the state, right, and get players that weren't elite national guys. Like they went to Mississippi and got Chris Garrett, they went to California and got Hayden Reddick. They kind of had to take a shot on guys that were maybe three or low four-star guys and hope they mm-hmm. developed. But it feels like, and like you see a lot of these guys up close, that the talent that they're producing now are those elite national guys.
You know, I believe so. I think I can go back to at least the team that we've had. And, if, you know, and Eli is obviously still young, and we've had some different quarterbacks. We've not necessarily had the guy in Louisiana, but mm-hmm. I remember watching Justin Rogers, who okay. ended up committing to TCU. He was a guy who was injured in his senior year, and he never really got an opportunity to play there. But I remember watching him in high school, and this was when I was early in the 7-on-7. If you could have bet me my spleen when I had it, and I would have put it up on the market because he was that talented to me. You know, and then I go back and I got an opportunity to coach Justin Field at the Nike opening. And I ain't seen a guy like that here, you know. And so there is, I think these guys are at a high level in the sense of where they're ranked in their classes. But I haven't seen that can't miss prospect amongst this group that we're talking about right now. Obviously, I haven't seen Jai's son, or I haven't seen Arch Manning. Arch Manning maybe that Jive kid, maybe that. But, you know, no disrespect to the Eli Holsteins and the young kid Howard at St. Thomas More. I've watched them, and I believe they are good, talented players. But it's not like, hey, if you get this guy, you plug him in, you have that dude day one, right? That he starts as a freshman, and because he's a part of your team, you are where Clemson was when they were beating Alabama in the national championship, Trevor Lawrence's freshman year. And so I do believe that these dudes are going to be clumped tight enough, at least the ones who are going to be more current or who we will see leave high school to go to college earlier. I do believe that they're clumped up enough where you're going to have to pick the right guy and do well in your evaluation.
Do you think it's reasonable to think that Louisiana will continue producing quarterbacks at this level? Or is this a moment in time because of what you said? It's Scott Holstein's son, and it's Jamie Howard's son, and it's Cooper Manning's son, and it's Jai Eugene's son.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think this is a special time, a special group. It's not California. It's not Texas from a sense of size, not a sense of salad. I mean, it's that talent, but a sense of
Did
of
you
size.
Say salad?
I'm not sure why I said that. I just ate three turtle brownies.
I thought you were in the honey buns and,
yeah,
and Twinkies and stuff, man.
I'm definitely not eating salad. You know, so I don't know if we'll have the amount of people to always produce at this level. But I think right now what's important is getting the right guys. So in a year we don't produce at this level, you don't have to get the three-star from California. You get the top one.
Right.
You know, the way Alabama pulls modern day's quarterback last year, who was a 5-star, he comes after Mac Jones was a 5. You know what I mean? So I think that that's where we have to get from the quarterback position of when you come here, it looks like Joe Burrow. When you come here, you win national championships. So the year we don't have those guys, we can go get them elsewhere.
If you want to catch our entire conversations with Mike Dottillier or Ryan Clark, you can go to 1045ESPN.com, click On Demand After Further Review, or go to the After Further Review YouTube channel. Please subscribe and hit the bell. That'll do it for us this week with the Locked On LSU podcast. We'll be back Monday with more. Locked On LSU, your team every day.